Just before Jesus was swept away by the political storm that led to his crucifixion, he met privately with his disciples and delivered final instructions. He knew, of course, what was coming, and yet Jesus assured his friends that he would claim ultimate victory. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll invites us to follow along in John 16 as we highlight four words in Jesus' brief conversation: joy, love, faith, and peace. As you listen to Chuck teach, consider how these promises can influence your life today. Chuck titled his message, Four Words That Keep Us Going.
If you want to learn something new, you must begin where you are and go from there to the unknown. If you want to illustrate something to someone who is not aware of this particular truth, you have to give them in the illustration a familiar set of circumstances, and from there catapult into the new revelation. Jesus does the very same thing here in this passage. He takes them from the known to the unknown, from the familiar to the unexperienced. He goes from that groundwork where they were living into whole new vistas of truth that they needed to hear. I've divided it into four subjects or four areas: sorrow, access, knowledge, and separation. All four were whirling in their minds that day, and they were trying to put together how they could handle their sorrow, how they could pray to a God they had never prayed to in the name of Jesus, how they could learn and continue to grow without Jesus' presence, how they could handle life while they were separated from the Master. He took them from the four known areas and he introduced four new words that would keep them going. For example, they could handle their sorrow through permanent joy. Joy is the first word he gave them. Look at verse 19. Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and he said to them, "Are you deliberating together about this, that I said, 'A little while and you will not behold me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Are you wondering in your mind what that's all about?" said Jesus. "Oh, let me tell you something. I have new truth for you to claim today, men. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice." Before we go on, he's referring there to his death. When I am put on that cross and my hands and feet are nailed to that beam, and when they put me in a grave, the world will applaud. They've won a victory. They will rejoice. You will lament. It will be the darkest day of your life. You will sorrow as those with no hope. Then he goes on, verse 20. "You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy." There's the new hope. You will have a new joy, implying when I come back to this earth, when I am resurrected in living bodily form, you will have a joy that you've never had before. Then he illustrates it, verse 21. "Whenever a woman is in labor or travail, she has sorrow because her hour has come. A woman who is carrying a child and comes to term with that child is in anguish. She is in physical pain. Birth is near. But when she gives birth to the child, she remembers the anguish no more. Why? Because of joy that a child has been born into the world." Mothers here this morning, you can identify with that without any further explanation. Who can ever know the pain of childbirth? But who can ever forget it so fast as a mother who has just experienced it, but is given the reward of a new baby in her arms? Now, Jesus says the same kind of anguish will overwhelm you men when I leave this earth. But in a few days, you will have joy like you've never had it before. Verse 22, therefore, you too now have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one takes your joy away from you. Please observe the last few words. When the Lord gives joy, no one takes it away. It is permanent. It has staying power. It applies even when situations are desperate. When there is very little around to make you happy. Jesus says you will have joy and it will never be taken away from you. Read on. In that day you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be made full. There's the word again. It's been there three times. Verse 20, verse 22, verse 24. He keeps coming back to them with that promise of joy. Let's go on. The issue of access was introduced with the subject of prayer. How can a disciple go directly to the Father? Verse 25. These things I've spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will speak no more to you in allegories or figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day, meaning after my resurrection, after I have left the earth, after you've gotten the Holy Spirit, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you. There's the word. How can I have access to the Father without visibly seeing the Lord Jesus? Because the Father loves you. Love will keep you going. That joy when you have sorrow will keep you going. That reminder of the Father's love when you question the things of the Lord will keep you going. Because the Father loves you, and because you have loved me, have believed that I came forth from the Father. That's marvelous. I don't know how often you have stopped to really ponder the fact that God loves you. But you need to do that from time to time. It doesn't sound very deep or profound, but it has profound ramifications. Look at what the Lord says. Very plain words in verse 28. He said, I'm not going to speak in figurative language anymore. I'll lay it on you straight. First, I came from the Father. That's the kenosis. I gave up the glory. Second, I have come into the world. That's the incarnation. I took up flesh. Took upon me flesh. I am leaving the world again. That's the resurrection, the ascension. I'm going to the Father. That's cessation. I am seated at his right hand. There is no more complete single verse on the experience of the Lord Jesus Christ than verse 28. I came from the Father. I came into the world. I'm leaving again. I'm going to the Father. Look at the disciples. They're just great men. I just love them right here. They say, now you're speaking plain. You're not using figure speech. Isn't that great? Now we've got a handle on it. Now we can understand it. There's nothing that motivates you like understanding spiritual truth. They now put it together. He came from the Father. He has been among men for a temporary period. He's going back to the Father. It isn't in vain. We can go on. The Father loves us just as he loved you. He said, yeah, but there's more. Verse 30, They answer, "Now we know that you know all things, and we have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God." The third word is believe, or faith. It's directly related to knowledge. They make a statement of faith in verse 30. Don't miss it. They're saying to the Lord, "We know one thing. You know all things. And we don't have any reason to question you. We believe in you." I think it's all connected with knowledge. The extent of one's faith will measure the depth of one's knowledge. They go together. It's hard for you to really grow in somebody that you don't trust. When you stop trusting them, you stop listening to them. You don't care that much anymore with what they have to say. Let me ask you something. You really believe that the Lord knows all things? You really believe He knows you through and through? That He really knows why you are here and where you have been this week and where you are going and what the outcome will be? Then you would have very little difficulty believing that He is in charge of your life. You would have very little difficulty going to a passage of Scripture such as this and gleaning from it the truth that will give you the courage to go on, because you have believed that He is in touch with every moment of your life. There are times when my faith wanes, and during those times my knowledge is reduced. When my knowledge is increased, my faith has increased by the same measure. They go hand in hand. Jesus said, He will teach us His word, and the disciples respond, "We believe that you came from God. We have that faith." Now Jesus answered, "Do you believe? Do you really have that kind of faith? It'll be put to the test." There's one more area that was known to them, and that was this imminent separation. Look at verse 32. "An hour is coming and has already come." You see, the mob had already lit the torches to find their way to Gethsemane. Judas had already made his act a completed fact. He was all ready to lead them to the side of Jesus. He says, "This hour has come. And you will be scattered, each one to his own home, and you will leave me alone." That's a tragic picture. Jesus alone in the garden and the disciples running toward the trees, running to hide away behind the olive trees in the garden and on over the hill, beyond the valley, to hide in the streets of Jerusalem. "You'll separate yourself from me and I'll stand there alone." Not really alone, because the Father is with me. Well, how will you go on with our separation being a reality? Verse 33, here's your answer. "In these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." There's the word, peace. "In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome it." Jesus says there will be a day-by-day peace, even though we're separated from each other, and it's not the kind of peace the world can give. Right before the first service began this morning, a knock came at my door. It was about 20 minutes till 8. I opened the door, and there was a broken man, almost ready to dissolve in tears. He was hunched over, and he said, I need help. I really need help." I, of course, invited him in and asked Ken to work with him as we went on to begin the service. Ken told me later that the man, just this morning, had been wrestling for a number of months with an alcoholic wife. And this morning there was a great furor in the home, and she had in fact called the police on him when he was relatively innocent of anything wrong. The police came and realized that he wasn't the problem, but in fact she was. And they had taken her to a hospital to begin to work with her. And the man just put his head in his hands and just sobbed. His world had crumbled in on him. What can I do? Ken had the delightful privilege of leading the man to faith in Jesus Christ just before the service started, to tell the man that he could know a joy and a love and a faith and a peace regardless of his situation at home. And the man said, I want that. I want that now. He received Christ. There are times that a hymn just seems to say it better than anything else. It came to me this past week when I heard "Day by Day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I have no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest." Do you have that joy that can't be taken away? Do you know the love of God, that God is for you? How about that faith, that trust that says, "Lord, you know everything, and I'm not questioning you any longer." Or peace. Peace that man longed to have but could never have outside of Christ. These things keep you going when you have nothing else to hold on to. You see, these are virtues that don't have to live in a house with a lovely roof and a nice car with a garage or nice accessories. You can go on with joy and faith and love and peace without all of those things. If I could somehow put myself inside the skin of those disciples and relive what it must have been like to get up from the table and have the Lord lead in prayer as he did in John 17, and then walk down those steps and find my way to Gethsemane, I believe there would have been two thoughts that would have just continued to go back in my mind over and over again. Two culminating thoughts at the end of this discourse. The first is this: his life may not have been long, but his death was not a mistake. That's the first thing I'd remind myself of. As I made my way toward Gethsemane and I would know that death was coming for him, I would say, his life may not have been long, but his death is no mistake. That's what the women thought that day in Shalmara. Betty Elliott and Olive Fleming, Marge Saint, Barbara Yodarian, Mary Lou McCulley, carrying their yet unborn child. Their lives may not have been long, but their death was no mistake. What is it Jim Elliot wrote? "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." The second thing I would think of, I believe, is my life may not be easy, but I can go on. My life may not be easy, but I can go on. That's what Jesus wanted those men to think of that day. "I promise you, in this world it's going to be hard, but I've overcome the world. You can be more than conquerors because of my power." Say, I want to ask you something. What if God's plan for you would be just as traumatic as it was for those five men? Maybe not as heroic, but as brief. What if for some untold reason, an unknown reason, your life is snapped out snuffed out before this week runs its course. What about that? It can happen in a flash. Incredible things can happen. We had a fire drill in the 9:30 service. As we walked out, I stood by a couple who said they were visiting a friend over at St. Jude's, and a man went to sleep in the St. Jude's hospital with a cigarette, and his bed caught on fire. He was covered with flames, third-degree burns. Who would have ever expected it? In a lovely, safe, metropolitan hospital, that you'd wake up in flames. You don't know what a day will bring forth. My life is continually brought face to face with surprising deaths. They're never planned by man. The words I hear most often, "It was so sudden. It was so surprising. She was so young." But there's death. We have no promise of a long life, but we have promise of life beyond the grave. And that's what makes this a message of joy. Jesus actually delivered his own funeral address. I promise you joy, love, faith, and peace, regardless of how long or short your life may be. Let's bow together this morning. Let me let you think about that for a moment, will you? Try to put everything else out of your mind. What would you have to hold on to if, in God's plan, He chose to take from your side the one who means the most to you? Or for some strange reason chose to take your children, as in the case of Job. Through a sudden tragic event, they're gone. What would keep you going? The Tories, if they could rise, could tell you, "The loneliness is awesome. The grief is tragic, but there can be joy." The widows could tell you, "There will be times of deep heartache, but the Father's love will sustain you." My friend, without Jesus Christ today, whatever may be the reason you have continued to live without Him, I plead with you, put it off no longer. Ask right now, just like a child, ask God to give you eternal life. Tell Him you receive Christ right where you're sitting. You want Christ to be your Savior right now.
Would you bow with me in prayer? Our dear Father, how thankful we are for Your Word today, especially for these tender words of our Savior, Jesus, Your Son, in the closing days and hours of His matchless life on this earth. The compassion and the affection we feel from You and through His grace moves us to a deeper devotion to You and a far more genuine commitment to follow You in obedience to Your Word. Dear God, may we never lose our love for You, having been laid hold of by Your grace through Your Son, Jesus. Keep us ever close to Him by Your Spirit, dear Father. Through Christ our Lord, I ask all these things. Amen.
Maybe this program is precisely what you needed to hear today. Chuck Swindoll titled his message, "Four Words That Keep Us Going." And you can access the complete study by going to insightworld.org. At Insight for Living, we have no way of knowing what you're facing today, but we have every confidence that God's Word can reach into your heart and minister in ways nobody else can. Not long ago, we received a wonderful comment from a friend who listens in Florida. And she said this, "Chuck, I'm 55 years old and have been listening to Insight for Living for 20 years. A few nights ago, my heart was raw with concern about my family and what the future holds. So when I settled down to listen to the program and realized that the topic was Tranquil Words for Troubled Hearts, I was so moved because the words were just what I needed to hear. Then the next topic was Overcoming Fear. Again, just the message I needed. Since then, I'm at peace. I feel so light and free." Well, that's what this ministry is all about, deploying the power of God's Word through this daily program in order to heal wounded hearts. And we can do so with confidence because Jesus said, "Take heart, for I have overcome the world." Well, when you join hands with Insight for Living as a financial partner, you're empowering us to accomplish this mission. Your donation is the channel God uses to reach people like our friend from Florida. And today, I'm inviting you to give a one-time donation or to become a monthly companion. A monthly companion is someone who agrees to give a donation every month. In this role, you're actually conducting a ministry of your own, because it's your generosity that allows us to provide Chuck's teaching on radio, the internet, through our mobile app, and the many other places where people can easily gain access to Insight for Living. To become a valued monthly companion, call us right now. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. Sometimes we hardly have words to pray. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll explains how the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. Be listening Wednesday to Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Four Words That Keep Us Going, was copyrighted in 1976, 1988, 2000, and 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.